He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is the February 3rd edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And I've also got Barry Kite in the house with me. Barry, yesterday it was PayPal. And today it is
all about Facebook.
Right. It's Facebook today. I'm trying to get my thoughts together here. Yeah. That's the guy.
Quite
Facebook.
I saw a stat where this is the largest loss of value in a name in history, by the way. So.
Really? Well, if you go by the amount, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. So anyways, I got something going on here with my computer. I'm trying to turn the sound down. There it is. Okay, we'll get that sound off for you. Okay, the other thing, yesterday we had a pretty decent day in the market, and let's not forget Google on the upside of the market. Okay, Google had a pretty good day, but right now let's go through the numbers, all right? The Dow is down, the NASDAQ's down 311 points to 14,106. The Dow is down 281 points to 35,348. The Russell 2000 down 19, the NASDAQ down 305 points right now. That obviously is a big drop there. In the NASDAQ, and that is having a big impact on the markets today. We're pretty well protected, Barry. I put on my flannel jammies, I don't know how long ago, with some inverse positions on the NASDAQ, and, of course, ARK, and that's helping us today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and a chartered financial analyst, Barry Kite. And when I saw that Facebook earnings report last night, I said to myself, this is trouble. You know, consider that Facebook is down. It was down 25% the last time I looked. Let me look right now. Facebook, FB, and this, of course, comes on the heels of the good earnings from Google and AMD yesterday. Facebook is down 26%. Yeah, so, I mean, it was over a trillion dollars or close to a trillion dollars, and today it's at $668 billion.
It's over a $200 billion drop in market cap, and like I said, historically, I just saw a stat here about 20 minutes ago. I think it's the largest largest loss in terms of market cap, I believe, in history at this point.
Yeah, and, you know, it's traded so far 2,900 times normal volume. Can you imagine the volume that's has changed hands on this stock? Well, people might ask us, don't you guys still? No, I have a self-discipline. It crossed my line in the sand quite some time ago, and I dumped Facebook. I don't argue with the charts, even though the numbers and the fundamentals and the analysts may be telling us one thing. There's a certain line in the sand in those charts that, to me, the charts are a leading indicator, okay, of what's to come. And we did dump Facebook. Not only did we dump Facebook, but we have positions in PSQ, which is one times inverse the NASDAQ. We have positions in QID, which is two times inverse the NASDAQ. And, of course, the ARK fund is down another. It's not getting hurt as badly as I thought. ARK is only down 3.62%. I guess comparatively that's pretty good compared to some of the dumps that's been taken recently. It's at $70.50, and we own SARC, which is inverse that, and it's up 3.5% today. So,
well, and look, Amazon too is down 6.75% at the moment. So that's, I mean, that's another big tech name, right? That's a big holding. I haven't seen any news as to why, but you know, just looking at some numbers here, it's popping on my screen, is down 6.7%. So,
well,
that's another big amount of market value, right?
And that's another one that we sold back in the 3,200-3,300 area. It's at 2,800 now. I don't argue with the charts, you know. And Amazon's in a horrible downtrend, and I don't think Amazon, they report earnings 2-3 after the close
today,
tonight. Okay. Yeah,
maybe that's what's kind of holding them down. Maybe people are worried a bit
yeah.
about what happened with Facebook and are going ahead and jumping off the train until they report. I don't know.
Okay. The other number that just absolutely jumps off the page at me today is the bond market has broken support. Look at AGG, okay, that's the aggregate bond ETF. I had a line in the sand. We don't own it, but I have a line in the sand drawn. It's in a horrible downtrend, just a horrible number four downtrend. One is sideways, two is up, three is topping out, which a lot of these things did a while back, and four is a downtrend. And I had a support line drawn on AGG, and it's breaking below that. Barry, we have an inverse on the bond in our bond fund. We have our people protected, and look at our TBT today, which is double short the 20-year Treasury. It's up 2.4% today, so it's helping a lot in our bond fund, and we may be looking to add another position. We sold one, another position. We've sold two so far this year, and with the money from the first sell, I bought TBT, which is two times short the long bond, so that's going to be really sensitive. If the interest rates keep going up, this thing's going to do really well, and, of course, I'm looking at another one because we sold our second bond and we have some cash out there. Now, I would just guess that the ECB kept rates alone today. That's the European Central Bank. The Bank of England is separate, okay? The Bank of England never did get into this, Eurozone ECB bank. And, in fact, you know, since they've had Brexit and got themselves out of the EU, it was the Bank of England that hiked interest rates today. Okay. This is signaling, I think, around the world that you're going to see rising interest rates. And, of course, that long end of the bond market is right in the sights, the bullseye of the hit that the bond market will take from rising interest rates, especially bond funds. And, of course, those long-duration stocks, they're already in a bear market. You know, ARK is down 54%, Barry, since February of last year, 1 year ago. And what was it that started happening 1 year ago?
Rates started rising,
and then they settled down because Delta came back, replaced COVID, hurt the economy, and now there's nothing holding it back because, Omicron seems to have come and gone, and now the Fed is officially on the warpath of hiking interest rates. So that long duration end of the NASDAQ, first it hit the spec tech, which has very high PE, price to cash flow, et cetera, ratios. And now it's starting to get into the next level down of tech. There's no question about it. And that's why we unloaded a bunch of tech back in early January when this whole thing started, because those tech stocks started breaking down below our lines in the sand. And as a veteran of the year 2000 tech wreck, I don't let tech stocks, I keep a pretty tight leash on them, having witnessed that. And so far, that's helped us a lot. We've been right about all of this. You know what? More, I hear it all the time. Look, over the last 12 years, buy the dip in the tech stocks. And I had a talk with my little brother a couple weeks ago. He says, I should be buying the dip. I'm going to buy the dip. They come back every time. I said, this time's different. This time, they have the wind in their face. Last time, they didn't have. All the previous times, they didn't have the wind in their face. They had the Fed. The Fed had their back. Now the Fed is putting the wind in the face. And you are seeing exactly what we predicted, the impact of higher interest rates on the valuations of stocks. But however, it's not all bad. When we come back, let's step back from the details and the painting and look at the big picture. Okay? This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Here's what stands out to me. The 10-year bond, 1.85. It is up 8 basis points today. That's just going to create a very difficult environment for high P.E. ratio, long duration stocks. I think it's only going to get worse. I think it's probably up those interest rates today because of the move by the ECB, not the ECB, the Bank of England. With their move of hiking rates today. All right. Now, I want to just step back for a minute, though. I printed a chart in the newsletter about 4 weeks ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, I don't know, somewhere in there, stating that and showing a 12-year chart, Barry, of the S&P 500. And I restated the fact that the S&P 500 is still in a 12-year bull market. That has not broke, okay? And it, I showed that chart again today in the message that I sent out this morning. Okay, not only has the S&P 500 not broken down, that's technically, the Dow is still in the midst of a 12-year bull market. That means just because Teladoc and Ginkgo Bioworks aren't working these days, that does not mean that there are not still very good long opportunities out there. And, you know, that's my job, to find those long opportunities. We've been doing pretty good in the oil and gas patch, and I think there's some other areas that are going to do just fine. And lastly, the NASDAQ has not broken its 12-year bull market. It got down to 1,265 in 2009. 1,265. And today it's 14,417. I didn't know that, you say. Well, it's true. And if you connect all of the dots in between, you'll see that the NASDAQ is still in a hellacious long-term uptrend. But what has broken, and I also showed this chart this morning, is the SPECTEC, the long-duration, high-PE, high-price-to-sales arm of the NASDAQ. It's been amputated for the most part. That area of the market is down about 54%. So it's as bad in that area. In fact, it's worse in that area than the sell-off in the S&P 500 in 08 and 09. The S&P went down 53% in 08 and 09. And right now, the SPECTEC sector of the NASDAQ is down 54% using ARK funds as the proxy. Now, having said that, the year 2000, I watched the NASDAQ go down 79%. I think that the SPECTEC could easily reach that kind of a sell-off, that kind of a – it's at 53% now, Barry, 54%. It doesn't take much before it's down 75, 80%. I could see that in the cards, and that's why, you know, when it comes to the inverse side of the market, I still think that that is the most vulnerable area of the market for further downside. But even within the NASDAQ, we're seeing low PE, high relative strength stocks. I'm thinking of Seagate Technology. I'm thinking of Micron. Okay, they're not long duration stocks. They're dividend payers. They're low PE. They're high relative strength. And, you know, they're not in the way of this. They're not getting clobbered today like, you know, the spec tech area. In fact, I would have expected more fallout from Facebook, and I'm not seeing that, Barry. That's a pretty good sign, actually. I mean, you look at Apple, okay, Apple's not losing a fourth of its value today.
Yeah,
Apple's down 30 cents. No.
Right. And I think, you know, I think you make a very unique point in where the real risk is, right, is, of course, we've got the headwinds for long-duration spec tech from an interest rate standpoint, but Facebook's a classic example of execution risk, right? I mean, you get some of these names. Not only do you have the headwinds of these of interest rates for some of these, you know, flying taxis or what have you, right? But you know, you get a poor earnings report, and I mean, they're gonna be repriced and drop like a stone. I mean, it'll put it this way: if Facebook can drop 20-25%, right? I mean, you're you know, your DocuSigns of the world, right? Peloton's already fallen in this manner. You come in with a bad report, you know, who knows where the bottom is on
yeah, well, you could even step it up a bit into that next echelon of PayPal. PayPal has just crushed. That is a very profitable growth company in the fintech space. It's gone from 310 down to 127. They missed their earnings yesterday. They are just punishing. That's how on edge this market is about rising interest rates right now. You've got to really hold your breath when these companies come in and report. And I just look at AMD. Yeah, they had a good report yesterday. I'm not going to go running back into AMD myself. It is up a little bit today, but, you know, that's a dang weak chart there. That thing's in a downtrend. And at a P.E. ratio of 44, it's just not my cup of tea right now. It's been good to me. It's been very good to us over the years. But at this point, and where we are at in this whole, it does the Fed impact the market? You are seeing it firsthand, just how extraordinarily the Fed does impact the market. It helped it overshoot on the upside. It created a bubble. And I said the bubble's being created in this space, this speculative space, and it's going to pop. Crypto, you know, the electric vehicles and everything, they created the bubble in that space because all that money was sloshing around out there. And what are you going to do with money sloshing around? You're going to buy a lottery ticket.
It's going to get spent, right?
You're going to gamble on the higher stuff. You're not going to go with, you're not going to be buying IBM or AT&T. And that's what people did. And they created a bubble. It was greatly enhanced by the Fed, and now it's, and in the bond market there was a huge bubble, and now it's starting to pop one bubble at a time. But the good news is we're still in a bull market. S&P, Dow, NASDAQ, that has not broke yet. The low PE stocks have not broken yet. They're hanging in there just fine. It's that speculative area of the market. Now, it could spread. It could be a contagion. And the Fed, the real danger is that the interest rate path that they are now on could put us into a recession. And then that impacts the entire market, all right? So we're on Fed watch right now. We're protected from these bashings of the NASDAQ and the high-tech spec stuff, and we're in other areas of the market in 2022. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. S&P down 53, Dow down 250, 238 it looks like. NASDAQ down about 250 right now. Small caps holding up a little better. They're only down 0.25%. Crude oil's down 67 cents to 87.59, but it's had a massive run here recently, with a lot of predictions for $100 oil. Gold is not doing well. That means there's got to be some buying of the U.S. dollar today. Let me just check that real quickly. I use UUP as my proxy there. Actually, UUP is selling off today. That should be bullish for gold. Gold is down $21 to $17.88. Maybe interest rates have something to do with that. Interest rates are up 7 basis points this morning to 1.83. And Bitcoin not reacting well to the Facebook news, down $1,241 to $36,550. But having said all of that, I just reminded you all, and I'll do it again in my newsletter this week, the Dow is still in a 12-year bull market. That's technical, okay? That's all you got to do is look at the technicals. In addition to that, Barry, the earnings have gone up every single year in the Dow, or the S&P 500, except for the COVID year. And as we sit here today, earnings this year, the year we're in, are expected to be higher than the previous year. So we're expected to continue that record roll of increasing earnings, but we adjust those numbers week by week. That's how closely we watch that part of the market. Okay, let's check in on natural gas. Yesterday, with this big another storm approaching, natural gas was up 12%. 12%. Snow, sleet, freezing rain. Well, we had a little bit of that. Was it last Saturday?
Right, yeah, the last two weekends, and of course our show manager in Texas, they drove to work in snow this morning. So
we just hit 70 degrees here right on the Wando River.
Yeah, exactly.
But last Saturday, I looked out the window and I saw it snowing on the river. It wasn't collecting. I said, you know, I don't think I'll go fishing today. I wasn't really planning on. But natural gas. And liquid natural gas, I saw a breakout yesterday in LNG stock, which is a big liquid natural gas stock that we own. I'll tell you what else happened in the natural gas world yesterday, and they've been threatening to do it, and they did. Europe reversed course and now has listed, labeled natural gas and nuclear as green. Okay, and I'm sure.
So they added back nuclear as green? I knew they were doing natural gas, which is kind of funny because it sounds green in the name, but I didn't know they added nuclear. That's it makes sense. I mean, France.
Neil Young is going to not be happy. Yeah. I'm guaranteeing you that Neil Young will be on the prowl. Since the UN Climate Change Conference concluded in November of last year, European leaders have experienced one of the worst energy crises in the continent's history. Okay, it's not that we don't have the stuff underground and everything. Coal consumption increased as gas prices hit record highs, and I've watched coal prices soaring and the coal stocks soaring, and governments began subsidizing fossil fuel-generated power to heat their homes. All of this on top of an increasingly complex energy security dynamic as Russia builds a military presence in the Ukrainian border. In the midst of the overlapping crisis, the European Commission has pivoted towards legacy energy sources, which I predicted they would do. They have to. Or freeze to death, is your choice, in a new policy link framework released today. Going forward, nuclear and natural gas will be considered sustainable forms of energy in Europe. Well, there you go. So, you know, whether you're for it, whether you're against it, you still have to heat your home. You still have to cook your food. You still got to get around, and there's going to be a gap. You know, you can't just flip the switch overnight. In addition to this, cyber attack, okay, there was one against Germany 2 days ago. There was one against the pipeline on our eastern seaboard a couple years ago, ransomware attack. Now there's one that has spread, the cyber attacks have spread to Rotterdam, where they're taking down pipelines through cyber hacking. And UBS is now on board. They become like the fourth or fifth big wirehouse to predict $100 oil. That follows Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, UBS out with the call. That's Brent oil, Brent. So be watching that Brent stuff, Barry, not the light sweet stuff that comes from Texas, Texas tea. Texas tea, black gold. Old Jed's a millionaire. MPC, that was the chart of the day for me yesterday. That was Marathon Petroleum. What a breakout yesterday. Oh, man, look at that. And today it's pulling back just a skosh, down 37 cents. It's just amazing, really. I mean, you go back 2 years ago today, and all the spec tech, actually about March or April they started taking off. And now it's Marathon Petroleum. That looks like Facebook did 2 years ago, right? It shows you the cyclicality, the cyclical nature. Every dog has its day. How many times have you heard that? Oh, he's here. He's in Pennsylvania. He's watching a live shot from Pennsylvania. I see the gas in the background, $4 per gallon. Ouch. In Pennsylvania. Marathon is cashing in. Someone else reported earnings today, one of the other big oil companies, and it was like, wow. Ford's electrified vehicle sales in January grew 167%. The interesting thing about that, that's four times faster than the overall electric segment. Okay, so Ford, not so much GM. They had a lousy report. Ford had a pretty good report. And, you know, look, I'm going to put two stocks side by side here like I always do. Tesla has a P.E. ratio of 134 and a relative strength that is dropping. The relative strength of Tesla has dropped considerably. It's in a downtrend. That's not good. And that's not a good chart on Tesla. It's in a downtrend. It hasn't broken support, but it's in a downtrend. Just connect those tops and you'll see a downtrend. And it's not real favorable from a valuation point of view. 134 PE, 77 relative strength. Ford, by contrast, has an 11 PE and 98 relative strength. It has way better relative strength. It has way lower PE ratio. Therefore, a lot less risk in my book, and they're entering into Tesla space big time. So anyways, you do what you want to do. You know, I have my opinions. I know you're going to say Ford ain't no Tesla. You ever driven a Ford? Yeah, you know. And their CEO is no Elon Musk either, right? He's not a P.T. Barnum kind of guy. Now, here comes this is a guy I listen to. David Einhorn. There's some guys I listen to. Most of them I tune out on the TV. Okay? Like this guy they're interviewing right now. He's useless. I won't name his name. But he's absolutely useless. You know, they just bloviate about what they cover and all this kind of stuff. All right. Here's David Einhorn, who leads Greenlight Capital. the economy is overheating and inflation will cause recession. Okay, so I'm seeing more and more of that. Obviously, the economy is overheated. Nobody can disagree with that. I mean, that's coming right from our Fed. I guess where we do disagree is just how aggressive the Fed will be on fighting inflation in the way of interest rate hikes. I think they're scared to death of inflation, personally. Only time will tell. But if they do a rate hike at every meeting going forward, that would be 7 rate hikes. And, of course, you know, we've been drinking from the punch bowl, okay? You've heard that expression. The Fed has been spiking the punch bowl. They've been spiking it with the massive quantity. The money supply has never been higher by the Fed. And, of course, the Fed has been buying our bonds. They issue the bonds and they buy them, okay? And that has kept interest rates at very artificial lows for some time. Well, it's all changing. It's all changing right before our very eyes. And there are some recession. I told you about the yield curve last week. It wasn't pretty. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we have reiterated that from a technical point of view, the Dow, the S&P 500, and yes, even the overall NASDAQ are still in the midst of a 12-year bull market. Just look at the chart. Get the newsletter this weekend. Take a look at it. Okay, now it's all about this year's earnings, next year's earnings, right? The future. And that's also something we address in the newsletter every week. But there is several bear markets taking place right now, a couple that are underway. The bear market that has already hit the tech, the spec tech area of the market and caused a spec tech wreck, somebody wrote to me. It's true, 53%, that qualifies. I mean, it hit bear market territory a long time ago. The bond market is more than likely beginning a bear market. Now, if you're going to own your bonds to maturity, and in our case, we're hedging our bond portfolio with some inverse funds. That's a whole different story. But those bulls are still intact. Now, the formula for 2 years ago, 2019 was, hey, if they've got a shot at being a big thing someday, I don't care if it's a space, you know, rocket launch company or if it's a Bitcoin miner. That was the formula for 2019. This is 2021. I'm just going to go over two ratios that you got to combine in this market. It's low P.E. ratio. I'm talking 11, 12, somewhere in that range, okay? Then I'm going to give some examples. That's just the current price of the stock divided by earnings over the last 12 months. And secondarily, you can look at the forward P.E. ratio in some cases, which is the price of the stock where it's at today divided by the next 12 months' earnings estimate, okay? Now, and the second ratio is a ratio called relative strength. I use Investors Business Daily numbers. I'm sure you can find the relative strength. Everybody has a little bit different way of doing it. O'Neill uses 1 through 99, with 99 being the strongest. I have my own momentum numbers in the app. That would be A or A-plus momentum. And that app, we are working round the clock, and I'm really liking what I see. And the app's going to have so much more capability going forward, including updated messages from me during the day, okay? But go back to that relative strength number. Low PE, high relative strength. Examples. Look at I'm not saying that these are stocks that you know, you should run out and buy, but they're examples of those two criteria being in place. You could screen the market, I suppose, for these two criteria, which the new app will version will have all kinds of screening capabilities. 99 relative strength for Alcoa. That's right. You're drinking a Diet Coke right now. That can you're holding in your hand comes more than likely from Alcoa. Other people, when they get home from work, you know, on the six-pack or whatever. Alcoa is up 5.4% today on a day when the NASDAQ's down 2%. Relative strength, 99. It doesn't get any stronger than that. P.E. ratio, 9. Single digit. Well, there can't be very many of those. ABV, A-B-B-V, that makes Humira. ABV, relative strength, 93. P.E. 11, breaking out to new all-time highs today. How about that? On a day when the NASDAQ's down 281 and a dividend yield of 4% to boot. Okay, how about McKesson, another drug company, generic drug company, breaking out to new all-time highs today, relative strength 95, P.E. ratio 11. Okay, here's another good example, one that's not as well known, Zim. Zim is a shipping company out of Israel, you know, freight on boats. Relative strength, 99. P.E. ratio is 2. That's right. The P.E. ratio is 2. You can look it up yourself. Okay, now, let's just see if I got one more. No, I'm going to now give you an example. Let's go to a former high flyer, Zscaler, ZS. Well, it has a P.E. ratio of 486. Barry, we're looking for the mid-teens or lower here. Okay,
right. Right,
that's,
like, yeah.
That's not going to cut it. How's our Seagate?
Hey, Facebook is getting in the Facebook's forward PE ratio is getting to the to that mid-teens real fast.
But can you believe those? You can't. I don't think you can trust those earnings estimates going forward.
Yeah,
now here's one. Here's a tech stock, Seagate. Seagate PE ratio 13. Right in the ballpark, right in our wheelhouse right now. Relative strength, 96. Okay, Facebook now has a relative strength. I don't think that's counting today. It's 72, and the P.E. is 23. AMD has a relative strength of pretty good, 92. You also have to look at the chart. I don't like the chart on AMD. That's a downtrend. And P.E. ratio of 44. So anyways, that's today's show. I don't know where you're going to get that kind of information on the market. You know, we put out a lot for you, our listeners out there. On the one hand, we're trying to protect you from the craziness that goes on in the market from time to time. And also try to find pockets, you know, we're still in a bull market. That's what the technicals say. So now you got to find stuff on the long side of the market. You got to avoid the landmines of the market, and that's the way it is right now. All right, this week's newsletter will have a full update on the earnings season, which this was a big, big week of earnings. I'm anxious to see what next year's earnings estimates look like. We're going to have an update on that yield curve, which was starting to disintegrate last time. That's the recession predictor, pretty good recession predictor. Hopefully it has widened this week. I don't know. I have not had time to look. We'll look at some of those important technical levels on all of the various asset classes out there. You can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. But better yet, say, man, these are the guys I want managing my money. We've had a lot of people say that during my 22 years in the business. And especially now, we've had all kinds of inquiries. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.